We're going to continue to worship the Lord in prayer. And so let's do that. Let's just bow before the Lord again this morning in prayer. Father, thank you for speaking to us the way you do, through your word, through your spirit. Thank you for using people sometimes to speak a word to us. Thank you for songs. Thank you for nature itself, your creation, that speaks of your goodness. Thank you, Father, we get to come this morning to worship you. And Father, I just pray, as we have come this morning, that we would clear our minds to hear from you. I just pray, Lord, that I know some have come battling life's issues, discouraged, maybe even feeling a sense of despair. Father, I pray by your Spirit and your grace, minister to each and every one today. We do lift up the names on our prayer focus. There are many. We do ask that you would continue to walk with each and every one. Chemotherapies, cancer treatments, in hospitals, in care centers, loss of family members, all manner of things. Father, we pray for each and every one and ask by your divine mercy that you administer to them like only you can, just what they need. And we do pray too this morning, Heavenly Father, for our churches, our communities, our nation and this world, that people would know Jesus. Not just a head knowledge, know about Jesus or say, yes, I believe in God, but come to that place of total surrender to Jesus Christ. And I pray, O God, that you would revive your church. Use us as you intended to love you, to love our neighbors, to be salt and light in our communities, to make disciples. Use us, Father, for how you purpose for the church, to bring glory to you. And so, Father, as we have come this morning to worship you, we just give you thanks for your goodness, praying for those that hurt, asking you to lead us in our service. Continue to direct us. Thank you, Father, this morning that we're going to celebrate communion and be reminded of that. Thank you that Brenda got to go to Honduras and help us to be mindful now for a few minutes as Brenda shares how blessed we are and how many things we have to be thankful for. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. This past winter, a lot of you know that Brenda Romig got to go on a missions trip to Honduras. And so she's going to share with us for a few minutes today some of her experience there and what that trip meant to her, show you some slides. And so let's make welcome this morning Brenda Romig, so have her share with us a little bit.
Thank you. I was very blessed in January to be a part of a mission trip to Honduras. I joined the team from the Fillmore Church, and this is our theme verse that we had. Isaiah 52:7 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." And I was blessed to see this actually played out on the mountains in Honduras when we went to villages and we brought them food and clothing. So you can go to the next slide. That picture, we're just waiting in Minneapolis to get on the flight. Honduras is a country in Central America that's about half the size of Minnesota, but they have the population of about 9.3 million, which is twice what we have here in Minnesota. The red spot there is the Santa Barbara region of Honduras, and Azacapa is a municipality there that we went to visit, and there's 21,000 people in Azacapa. So if you go to the next slide, too. This is our team. The Honduran lady, obviously, is Delia. She's the director there. Next to her is Dave. He's been doing this mission trip for 18 years. And his wife, Kelly. That's Mike on this end. Behind me, there's another Mike. And then there's Mary and Ron and the young guy on the end there, that's Seth. This was also his first mission trip. And that's the bus that belongs to the ministry there in Honduras. Next slide. This is Aide. She's a single mom. We went there to finish her home, so for her and her three children. And the lady with the gifts, that's Mariana. She's Alex's wife, and Alex is the pastor there. The gifts were gifts that Kelly brought for the, her and the rest of the ladies that served us while we were there. Next slide. This is Alex, the pastor over here. He was just, excuse me, seeing us off on our first day. And then that's Mary and I. We were just taking a picture because it was hilarious. When I took my hat off, there was cement spattered all across my forehead, and it was just funny. In the next slide, this on this side is Wilmer and Fernando. They're doing the cement work, and they each received about $13 a day for the work that they did. Over there, I'm painting a windowsill. We replaced some windows. That particular window had just been covered with a board and that had hinges on it. In the center, that's a stove. So they make a fire in there and cook on the top of that. It's not exactly the latest Kenmore model, but it serves its purpose. next slide. This is the bathroom. On this side was before we did anything in there, but that in the corner there, that's a tank of water, and it's actually shared with the kitchen too, but they would dip water from there to bathe with. Well, we put a shower in and a new toilet and painted the walls, and so next slide. Here we are sorting supplies for the villages. We brought them not only food, but also toiletry items and soap for their laundry and stuff. On the right there, Pastor Marin is preaching the gospel. And then in the next slide, you can see on this side, actually, Delia is just giving them instructions of how we were going to go about giving the food out. And there we are distributing food. It's in those bags. And then Mike, he's wearing gloves because he's handing out frozen chicken. It was pretty cool. the next slide, it's... This is what the road was like going up there, and that's that actually goes further up the hill where most of the village is up around the corner there, and they had to climb up there with their bags to go home. And then the next slide just kind of shows some water and We had to drive through water several times on the roads there. And the next one. This is Goliath. Kelly brought him there in a suitcase, and we put him together. He stands 9'6" tall, which is about the size that Goliath really was. So we had to have a picture, of course. You can see David probably wasn't very big compared to Goliath. And the next slide is the Sunday school, and Goliath was used to show them that no matter how big your obstacles are, if you trust God, he can get you through. And the next slide is just another village that we went to. There's up in the mountains there, I just was overcome with gratitude that God would allow me to go to a place like this and be a part of what he was doing. The next slide is just us kind of goofing around after we had been up to another village and spoke with a pastor there about doing some ministry there. And we just saw that. And another thing that we saw out there were these huge rocks, and I don't have a picture of it, but they just were spread all across this pasture, like God had just taken a basket and thrown them out there, and they just landed wherever. We stood beside it and took a picture, and the rock was about as tall as Goliath. In the next slide, this was our last night there. That's Aide and her family. And that was just before they went into the house. It was a dedication night. And you could see we're kind of sad because that's our last night there. And I know for me, leaving the children, that was the hardest part. They just come up to you and they play with you and they love to have their pictures taken. So you take their picture and then you show them and they just get all excited. So, but there's so much to tell and I can't possibly tell you everything that happened or all the wonderful experiences, but it's a beautiful country and beautiful people. And if you ever get a chance, I would suggest taking a mission trip, and it'll change your life. Thank you for letting me share.
It's good for us to be reminded there are others in the world. Amen? Marie will be going to Pakistan in a short time again also, and it's just good for us in this church to be able to be part of those things that God is doing around the globe. And so thank you for sharing, Brenda, and thank you for your willingness to go. As she said, I'm sure there will be opportunities again because Fillmore Free Methodist Church has been doing this for nearly 20 years. And I'm sure next winter they'll probably, or next summer, fall, they'll ask us, you got anybody that wants to go again? So pray about that and think about that. And maybe just pray and think about your availability to God in general, whether it's here or there. Because you never know what God may have for you. In preparation for communion this morning, I want to take a little bit more time than normal because of the seriousness of communion. And so I'm going to read for us a little bit of scripture, and most of you have read this many times and heard Charles or Marie or I or somebody else read it to you. It comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It's where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth regarding the communion supper. And so I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to make a couple of comments before we pass out to you the elements of communion. So I'm in 1 Corinthians 11, if you're in your Bibles and you're looking. I'm in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 23. Here's what the Apostle Paul writes. For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, Paul writes, he, that's Jesus, also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then he said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Then he changes gears just a little bit. Verse 27, Paul writes to the church, therefore, whoever eats of the bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. I'm gonna stop there just for a minute before I go on to 28. What is in an unworthy manner? One of the things that we want to be very, very careful about when it comes to taking the elements of the bread and the cup is that it doesn't become mundane. Well, we just go through that once a month just for whatever. We want to come to the Lord partaking of the communion together for several reasons. One, as he said, to remember, we want to come to him in a manner where we have examined ourselves to the point, I have confessed my sin before God, I have repented, and I have put my faith in the Son of God. That's a manner worthy coming to him. Coming to take communion flippantly, just to take it, not that much meaning. That's what Paul is warning against. Don't take communion like that. Remember its holiness. Remember its significance. Remember the price that was paid. And when you come, come in a manner worthy. And I said this to the earlier service, and I'm sure we have said this before many, many times. This is not necessarily an act or participation because you're members here, but because we have recognized Christ as Lord. And we have recognized what he has done on the cross for us. This is a followers of Jesus thing. And as Paul said to the church there at Corinth, not a denomination so much as the people of God, he said, when you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And when you do this, remember what you're doing and remember what was done. So how do we come in a worthy manner? He says this in verse 28, but let a person examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. In a minute, we're going to take a moment to examine ourselves, to simply confess our sin before God and make sure we're right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Because he said, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, hasn't prepared, haven't put our faith completely in Christ, haven't repented of our sin, whoever would eat and drink of the cup and the bread without having examined, he said, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this reason, he writes, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And so that's why we take the time prior to communion, a time of quiet prayer, you and the Lord, to make sure you have put your faith in the Son of God. He is the only Savior. He is the only way to God the Father. He is the only one that died for our sin. It is only by the blood of Jesus that our sins can be atoned for. And so we take this time of reflection, of examination, just you and the Lord, perhaps asking forgiveness, perhaps asking the Lord to come into your life and be Lord, but getting ready so we don't take the communion in an unworthy manner. So let's take a moment or two now to simply bow, and you and the Lord have a moment together. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for the provision that you have provided to us, humanity. The provision is Jesus. Your word says before the foundation of the world, this was in the plan. Through your Son, God the Son, to die on the cross at Calvary, to shed his blood, to give his body over, to take on the sin of the world, and to atone for ours, our sin. Thank you, Father, for that provision. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross. Thank you for shedding your blood. Thank you for giving us the instruction in the Gospels, and then the Apostle Paul again in the book of Corinthians, giving us the instruction of the church even 2,000 years later, that we would remember the price that was paid, that would remember the love that was poured out, that we would remember Jesus, claiming him as Lord, claiming him as Messiah, and doing this simple little act we call communion until he comes as instructed by your word. And so having examined ourselves this morning, Father, we're prepared to receive the elements of communion, the bread, the cup that Jesus used the night of his betrayal, we continue to use to remember and proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, for our sin until you come again. And we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We pray it in your precious name. Amen.